of season Hotspurs podcast. I'm Steve, I'm in Leon's seat, and we've got Colin in Northern Ireland. How are you doing, Colin?
Not good. It's not so frustrating. It is so angry or so annoyed or so disappointed. I don't know what way to say it tonight. It's terrible, right. Steve. Absolutely shocking. Yeah.
It's all over. That's it, isn't it? Okay, mate, so let's get into it. Obviously, we didn't do a show last week. Different things going on. We played Southampton. You know, it was one of those games. Played terrible in the first half. Sorted it out. And then you know, kind of got a bit lucky at the end, I suppose. Got the win. You know, all the other podcasts have talked about that, so we don't need to go through that really particularly. But we'll refer back to it as we go through the Liverpool debacle, and basically, you know, little joke there about end of season, that's it really, isn't it? There's a few things that, you know, we could play for if we wanted to, but, you know, we'll get into that as well as we go along. So, you know, and loads of subjects that we'll hit on as we go through, but let's do it then. So what are your thoughts?
It's such a difficult one, Steve, because it was so poor. It really, really was. And, you know, I'm maybe like the rest of us, not expecting, you know, wasn't expecting a result at Liverpool. But again, like we've said before, it was about the performance. It was about showing us, you know, like what was there, 2,500 Spurs fans travelled the whole way to Liverpool to sit and watch that. And it all started, and I know I've put a picture up on Facebook and Twitter, you know, it all started from the tunnel. And when you look at those guys standing in that tunnel, Steve, and, you know, Jan for talking, I'm definitely going to speak about tonight. They didn't even look interested. They didn't look as if they were motivated. They were beat before they even went out the tunnel. And, you know, that shouldn't be happening. It shouldn't be happening. They should be out there thinking, well, hold on a minute here. You know, there's been another few teams have dropped a few points this weekend. You know, we get a win here, brings us up even 5 points behind Arsenal, whatever it was going to be, with Arsenal still having to go to Everton, and Everton still to play a couple of tough games as well. But it was an absolute disgrace. It really was. And that's me putting it mildly. You know, it just was. And, you know, after 1 minute, you know, it was shocking defending. Absolutely shocking stuff. And that was it. It was game over after a minute. And we showed nothing throughout that whole game.
Well, I'm not going to interrupt you tonight, because I've been under instructions to let you speak. Because I'll keep interrupting you by Jason McGovern's getting a bit annoyed with that. So I'm not going to do that. But the first thing I saw was them kick off and Danny Rose give it away after about 4 seconds. And I just thought to myself, right, here we go. He obviously given clear instructions by Tim Sherwood. Listen, Danny, as soon as you get the ball, give it straight to a Liverpool player. Or that's the perception, obviously, that you get from people who can't stand Tim Sherwood. And without a shadow of a doubt, there has been things that people have said about Tim Sherwood from the start and up till now that I've always said that I'm going to try and defend and see it from his point of view, not because I'm a Sherwood fan, but just because every single podcast which I listen to, I think I'm the only one that does, by the way, listen to every single Spurs podcast, and every single Spurs podcaster is saying exactly the same thing. So, and even though I'm not Mr. Pro Sherwood, I am going to try and say the opposite, what he's thinking. That's why I do that. Interesting though, because today, obviously, you know, it is the end of the season, so I don't see any reason why I should keep sticking up for him, because might as well get stuck into him. You know what?
I don't think you can stick up for him, Steve, much more. You know, it was such, you know, and look, don't get me wrong here, it's not all Tim Sherwood's fault. A lot of these players, and I mean 90% of them, have to hold their hands up and are not performing for this guy. But unfortunately, in football today, you know, the buck lies with the man at the top, and that is Tim Sherwood. And unfortunately for him, and I'm sure now in hindsight he's looking at it, he sat up in that stand that whole game. And, you know, especially when we went 2-0 down, he should have been down there. And I know what he's saying, he's trying to make it, seeing it from a different view and things, but look, he needed to be down there on that touchline. And if he's Mr. Motivator and he's the guy that gets these guys going at halftime, you know, he should have been down there directing people and telling people, look, get in his face, close them down. You know, there was absolutely nothing from the touchline. You know, I don't think Les Ferdinand got off his seat once. But, you know, so, you know, what I'm saying is Sherwood has to take blame now for this. I haven't been a lover of him, but, you know, I'm not fully blaming either. You know, there's players out there that obviously on Sunday, their minds are elsewhere. They're either looking to move or they're worried about getting injured for the World Cup. You know, we'll give example. We'll start on Jan Vertonghen, and I know I give him a bit of a shout out on Twitter and things there about it. You know, you look at his body language in the tunnel, not interested, was beat before he went out. And I was sitting watching it with Christopher, my son, and I said, look at Vertonghen, he doesn't want to be on there after the first goal went in. And he made that the tackle out at the side of the net, and he went down sort of holding his ankle. And I said then, he wants to go off. And within 2 minutes, he was off the pitch. And Steve, the guy might genuinely be injured. To me, he just didn't want to be there. That guy is thinking about his World Cup. He's thinking about maybe getting a move. If he's looking to move, he definitely didn't do himself any favours. If he wants to move to Liverpool or another Premier League team, if the sitting hot's his attitude over the past 6 months, certainly wouldn't be a player that I would be looking at. But I'm gutted to have to say this about him, because last year he was fantastic for us, and he is a top player. But see, when someone doesn't want to be there or they're not interested, well then I think we've always said leave, away you go. And I think he just proved it on Saturday. And one point that I want to get across tonight as well is, it's something that I would do, 6 games to go, play the under-21s, play some of these kids. Let Jan Vertonghen not play the rest of the season, and let's see how well he gets into the Belgium squad for the World Cup. And say to these other ones, like Paulinho, I heard a bit of a rumour that the Brazilian manager was sort of saying that this guy needs to be playing. You know, look, if your heart isn't there, don't play. Play the under-21s. We've got absolutely nothing to lose from that. At least we might have a few guys out there that want to fight and play for us and show a wee bit of spirit. Because if you look at it, Sunderland played that team last week, and Sunderland gave Liverpool a fright, and Sunderland done a million more times effort and work than what we done on Sunday.
Well, just watching this Sunderland West Ham game tonight, both teams absolutely going at it, hammer and tongs.
Yeah.
You know, the talent isn't there for either of these sides, but they are both absolutely fully committed. Yeah. which we haven't had really all season, have we? You know, the odd game we've seen glimpses of it. You know, when you talk about Jan Vertonghen, you know, a lot of people, you know, say certain things. I'm going to say now that I wouldn't be surprised if he's played his last game for Tottenham. I wouldn't be surprised if he was thinking, you know, if I go down with a little injury here, I'll not play for the last 6 games, and I'll be fresh as a daisy for the World Cup. And then, of course, I'll play great in that, and I'll get my move to a bigger side. And I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. And you know, we have seen attitude from him, not just this season, last season. Remember when Mata absolutely destroyed us when we played. We went 2-1 up, didn't we, against Chelsea? And then I think when they equalised, he was just strolling back, and he'd done it on a few occasions.
Yeah.
And for such a class footballer, just to decide, is it literally a decision with him? No, I'm not up for it today. I don't know if that's because he's, you know, Sherwood's picked Kabul alongside him instead of Dawson, I'm not sure. I think that, you know, when you're talking about someone like Kabul, I haven't seen a worse central defensive performance in my life from someone who's supposed to be such a class player. And last month we were talking about him coming back against Newcastle being a colossus.
Yeah.
What an absolutely awful, awful performance by him. And, you know, I said it way, way earlier in the season when I was not impressed by Walker and everyone was banging on about how brilliant Walker is. I was not convinced, and I said, you know what, when Cabool's fit, I'd play Cabool at right back because he loves getting forward. And I don't think he's too bad going forward, actually. That goal that got us into the Champions League, you know, that presence he's got, steaming up the right wing. But I tell you what, when he's a centre back and he's steaming up the right wing, the opposition side must be just rubbing their hands together, going, well, wait there, if we get the ball, you know, bingo. That's crazy. Danny Rose giving the ball away after 7 seconds or 6 seconds set the scene for me. And we've done this so many games. We get the ball, we give it away within the first 10 seconds, and you just think, oh, what is going on here? We're dipping in and out of the Sherwood situation. But I would love to be in the dressing room just because I want to know what he has been saying. We know that these guys are young guys, right? So they are all over social media. They don't respond to podcasts, as far as I know, and they don't respond to many Spurs fans. But what they do is they are constantly on their phone. So they know that all the negative stuff, and you know, 80% of, or 90% even, of tweets are negative towards Sherwood. So I just think that when they're sitting in that dressing room and he's dishing out whatever orders he is, and I doubt very much that he's saying anything apart from get stuck in, lads, let's really go for it. You know, all the things that I honestly think he's saying without being too intellectual about it all. They're looking at him going, mate, you ain't going to be here next season. The Spurs fans don't like you, so why should we listen to you? Because that's the mentality, unfortunately. And also reading all the tweets from Spurs fans and listening to Spurs fans, you know, about the game, you know, myself included, you and everybody else going, oh, don't fancy this much. I just think the whole preparation for the game was wrong. But you know what? Arsenal, all their tweets, all their podcasts, all dreading the Man City game. And what did they do? At halftime, they sorted it out and they came out and they got a result. Why couldn't we do that? 2-0 down. Why didn't we go, right, we're 2-0 down. Oh, 1-0 down at halftime, right? I know, 2-0 down at halftime. Right? Why did we give up? What's going on? That's not football, is it?
No, it isn't. And that's what I'm saying. You know, the buck has to lie with Tim Sherwood on that. And I do blame the players as well. I really do. You know, I think it's an absolute disgrace if players are sitting in that changing room thinking about going to World Cups or thinking, oh, I've seen it on social media, none of the Spurs fans like this guy, he's not going to be here. I actually think you're right. I do believe Sherwood is in there, probably fist pumping and, you know, right, you know, this is Liverpool, we've got to close them down, we've got to keep it tight for the first 20 minutes, let the crowd get on their back. I believe, you know, the guy isn't sitting in there saying nothing. So I do believe as hard as being there in the right place. I've always said I don't think he was the right man for the job because it was a lack of experience. We were still in a good position whenever he got the job. But, you know, a big, massive thing has to lie with these players. And if that's what they're doing, it's an absolute disgrace. An absolute disgrace. But I think that's true. I think they don't care. And that is the big problem I think that all us Spurs fans have at the minute. That we're sitting watching this team. As you said about that game tonight, West Ham and Sunderland, lacking, we probably wouldn't take many of their players at all in the Spurs squad. But I'm telling you what, at least they put in a shift and they put in a bit of effort. And that's all we ask for. Like, I can't actually even think of a game that I've really enjoyed this year, Steve, bar possibly Man United away. Mm. I think it's the only game where I actually got excited and thought we had something maybe about us. But, you know, that display yesterday, that it was just the final straw. It really was. And what unfortunately needs to happen is there needs to be another massive overhaul of this club. And to me, that means a new management team. It probably means 4, 5, 6 players leaving, which isn't good either. And unfortunately, we have now jumped back, probably back to before Harry Redknapp joined the club. And unfortunately, we're probably going to have to now sit and go through this again for another 2, 3, 4 years of trying to build a side and trying to build a club. And to me, that is the biggest devastation, because I remember me and Davey Elder, the Spurs poet, sitting chatting on the phone or chatting to each other, going, flip me, this is the best. This is the best squad, the best football we've ever seen Tottenham play. You know, I remember when we signed, that both of us busted to sign Jan Vertonghen. You know, this has taken us on to the next level. But unfortunately, we have just went backwards. We really have, Steve. And it's soul destroying. It really, really is. And I just don't know what's going to happen. Like, personally, I would love, and I know it won't happen, I would love to see, as I said earlier, a lot of the kids brought in now and playing for these last games. And because I'm telling you what, see next Monday night at White Hart Lane, see if they're not up for it, and Sunderland on top of us, that crowd is going to go bananas. And they are going to turn massively. You heard the songs that they were singing yesterday at Anfield. You know, where is our manager, and other things that I can't say on the podcast about Tim Sherwood. You know, that crowd is going to go crazy, and it's just going to get worse. But we, look, it's overhaul time, and I think hopefully I've got a wee note down here that we might look at where we think we maybe need to change things, and I've got a couple of ideas where I think it might be quite good. But it's desperate, Steve. It's hard to believe that we're sitting here. Spurs are in fifth place, and we feel as if we're about to get relegated.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, just going back, you know, obviously this is the Tim Sherwood show, if you like, because, you know, he seems to be at the centre of everything, and rightly so. I mean, you know, let's talk about him massively. You know, my view, just to reiterate again, was that, you know, if you take the whole season as a 90-minute football match, you know, you start the season or the game, you know, everyone's fit, we're all looking good, but slowly but surely, you know, things aren't quite going right. They're all right, you know, they're not too bad. And then, you know, you lose your manager, right? And you think, okay, yeah, I can see why they've changed the manager. I can see what's going on, and who they're going to get. You know, who they bringing on with the last, you know, at half time, if you like, because it was halfway through the season, wasn't it, really? And they brought on, you know, this other guy. And me and you look at, you know, at half time, and we go, right, who are we going to bring on? We've got this guy, we've got that guy. Oh, they brought him on. You know, this novice, this guy with no experience, right? So for the second half, right? Say I'm sitting next to you in a match. There's nothing. We can't change it now. You know, he's brought on. This guy is now playing for us, right? You can't change it. You know, unless you bring him off again. Which, and then you've got someone chirping in your ear going, "Bring him off. Bring that guy off." And you're like, "No, you can't do anything about it. You've got to support him. You've got to keep going. You can't do. You know, that's the best we can do while we're there." And that's what I always said about Sherwood, is that if we get behind him, then we might have a chance. But if we complain and moan and constantly, you know, diss him and all this sort of stuff, then we've got absolutely no chance. And the decision had been made to keep him. And lo and behold, I was right. Because all the moaning and all complaining, Levy didn't get rid of Sherwood. So, you know, all the moaning and complaining didn't help, didn't work. So the guys that were moaning and complaining, you know, they need to have a look at themselves as well, because, you know, it didn't help. And if you think that, you know, the 5% or the 10%, of which I was included, trying to get behind him, trying to go, look, the decision's been made. We are not going to get rid of Tim Sherwood. The only thing we can do is get behind him and see how he gets on. Well, you know, the moaners have won, haven't they? Because, you know, at the end of the day, all the players have turned around and gone, well, the fans don't like you. He's given up as well. He's thought, the fans don't like me, I'm just going to sit up in the stands. The chairman's got a new guy coming in. You know, I don't know, that Ruud Gullit thing. You know, I wonder if Tim Sherwood went up to Levy and sort of said, you know, the Ruud Gullit's come out and said Van Gaal's going to be the manager next year. What, is that true? And Levy, like, said, I don't know, yeah, maybe, or I'll speak to you next week or whatever, and he's just going, oh, fine, I'll sit in the stands all season.
Yeah, are you saying, Steve, that you think because the crowd and because the supporters didn't back him from the start, that gives the players the excuse not to perform? Is that what you're saying? Because, you know, you're saying there that, you know, if the crowd had been behind him 100%, would have been different. I don't know if it would have been.
Because I don't know. I think people are. People are complaining that people supported Tim Sherwood. So I'm saying, well, wait there. You know, I knew that he wasn't going to get rid of Sherwood, and I think everybody knew that. So, but rather than think, right, what can we do as fans? Because, you know, rightly or wrongly, the players as we've said, it is disgraceful the way the players have conducted themselves, if that is their attitude. But Troy Townsend on another podcast on the Fighting Cock said, yeah, they the players, like 90% of players, play for the manager rather than themselves. And if they're not behind the manager because they know that the fans aren't behind the manager, then, you know, what can you do? So I said, let's get behind the manager and then we'll go from there and see what happens. But the fans were saying, you know, the majority of fans, particularly what I read, were saying, no, let's not get behind him. Let's call him all the names under the sun and let's get rid of him. Well, we weren't. We couldn't get rid of him. Levy had made the decision. He's not going to go back on that decision.
Yeah.
Now the season's over, right? Now the season's over, I want him gone. But I can say that now because the season's over. But while we still had a chance, you know, it's like the game's over. So when the game finishes, you go, oh, what would we bring that novice on for? What are we having him for? But while the game's still going on, while we still had a chance, I was going, no, you know, let's get behind him. What is there? 2 minutes to go? 3 minutes to go? Let's still get behind him. Game over. Right. That was rubbish. now let's make some decent decisions.
You know, unfortunately, if you actually think back when he took over, he actually had a brilliant start. He really did. And I think, you know, there were still people on his back, but not as bad as what it's got to now. You know, so he had that slight honeymoon period. But if you really think of those games, and this is where my biggest problem is with us at the minute this season, we have not performed. You know, at White Hart Lane this year, Steve, you tell me a game that you've enjoyed at Tottenham this year. Has there been a game where you've went and sat and went, do you know what, even if we got beat or won, that was a brilliant game of football?
No.
As I said, I've been once this year, and usually I'm over a lot more, but because of the way the football's been, the style, I'm going to myself, hang on, I'm not spending £500 to fly over to watch that for 90 minutes, because it cost me that in flights and match tickets and food and drink and hotels. And, you know, just sit and go, hang on a minute, I'm not spending that at the minute. I think a lot of guys have been the same. And the thing is, I was at Palace and I came out, even though we won, and I felt as if we got beat. I'd never felt that way leaving my tournament and after a victory. Never. And I think there hasn't been one game, Steve, where we have been entertained this year as fans. And that, yes, that lies a lot with the players. I would say 75% of it lies with the players now, and they've showed by their attitude. The other thing is about the players, they're not good enough. End off.
I think they're good enough. I think they're good enough. You know, how can you say that these guys who are going to go to the World Cup? You know, 50% of our side are going to be in at least the semi-finals. When you look at the Belgians and the Brazilians, you know, fully fit, they're going to make the semi-finals. France, they're going to be a decent side, aren't they? Soldado, yeah, if he makes the Spanish squad.
Soldado will not make the Spanish squad, no way.
Who will then? Who will they pick then? Torres?
No, they don't even play with the striker now.
Yeah, but they'll have to take two or three strikers at least.
They'll probably take Negredo and maybe Torres, you know.
Yeah, funnily enough, Negredo's sitting on the bench at Man City now. I can't believe that. I know,
it really is. It's crazy. But, you know, I think who I'm talking about is, you know, if we look at our side, and I don't want to keep hopping on back the Modric, some Bale, Van der Vaart, you know, the team that we had underneath Harry Redknapp and where we've got to. But you look at the likes of Kyle Knott, Danny Rose, you know, Bent the Lab, Aaron Lennon, the way he's fallen off. You look at these players and go, they'd probably look in better in place if they're playing for Norwich. And that's nothing against Norwich. Norwich have probably got more fight and played better football than us this year. But you know what I mean, Steve? That's where I seen Davey Elder put a thing on today about some of the players on his page. And he had mentioned about Danny Rose, who was Sunderland's player of the year last year. And that problem was his level. It really was. We're Tottenham Hotspur. We're being fourth and fifth place over the last three or four seasons. Really, sitting where Liverpool actually wish they had been. Liverpool have moved on this year. But, you know, if we just had signed a couple of key players and kept a couple of better players, you know, where would we be? And that's what's frustrating me. But unfortunately, then, the big-name players, you're talking about the likes of Vertonghen and Palinio and Chavez and all these guys, Soldados, they just haven't performed. And I know the setback takes these guys time to settle down here. How long do they need? You know, we're at the end of the season. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, it's just not good then.
Well, it's funny, isn't it? Because I think the Danny Rose situation, the left-back situation, has been a major issue all season. Because it's just a domino effect. We didn't get a left-back. We got rid of our best left-back, who, you know, divides opinion anyway. Then our left-back gets injured after about three games, who, by the way, isn't good enough anyway. And then we have to play our best centre-back at left-back, who gets the hump for half the season, or more than that. And then we lose all our centre-backs. You know, I've never known anything like it. A team to have four centre-backs and lose them all. So you go out to Benfica and in the biggest game of the season and you haven't got a centre-back. And you've got four on your books. You know, unbelievable. But it all stems from this left-back situation, which is absolutely crazy. You've got Carl Norton, who is cover for right-back. And our right-back, Carl Norton, isn't, for me, a world beater. And that's saying it lightly. A lot of fans absolutely love him. I mean, I think he's very frustrating. You know, does a lot of very, very good things. But, you know, when you cast your mind back to, you know, the goal he scored against Arsenal a couple of years ago, and you thought, wow, but, you know, this boy's going to crack on. You know, he's kind of all over the place, you know, if you're going to be honest. But, yeah, I just still like him. I'd have him in my team. And then, you know, my goodness, you know, let's just before we have another massive dig at Sherwood, let's just have a look at something here. Look at that team we played against Liverpool, okay? So, you know, we do this every week. Well, you know, why not do it this week? Liverpool, as far as I know, completely 100% full strength, right?
Yeah.
So we're missing, obviously, our right back. We got terrible left back, although he's first choice. We've got two players coming back from injury, and one of them gets injured. We've got and no cover because another player, Dawson's just coming back, and Vlad's just coming back. So we've got no competition there really. You and one of Dawson is completely out of form. I've never done anything like it. Then you've got your best midfielder. He's injured, sitting on the bench. I don't know why he put him on the bench. You know, if he's injured, he should not be anywhere near the side. You know, cover your back, Sherwood. Blimey, you know, if you sit him on the bench, you're begging for fans to go, why isn't he playing? So you're playing Bentaleb, who, by the way, I'm just going to slip this in now, that if Bentaleb is 19 years old, if he is with us in 3 years' time, I guarantee you that he's going to be our best player. And he's going to be absolutely fantastic. Because for this lad at 19 to be under so much pressure and play all these games. And by the way, he's an half-decent player. Do you know what I mean? He's not terrible, is he? And he's 19 and he's being asked to play as our major centre midfielder for all these games. Anyway, we'll move on. We'll come back to that in 3 years' time. You've got Paulinho, who's disinterested and he's injured. You've got Dembele coming back from injury, who was terrible last week, and Sigurdsson, who changed the game last week, so I can see why he's playing. Because what would have happened if he had dropped Sigurdsson? Oh, he's dropped Sigurdsson after he's played the game of his life and he's won the game, da-da-da. So in a way, you can't win with that one. You've got Lennon, who played great out in Benfica, but of course we know that he's either brilliant or utter rubbish, and on this occasion, obviously, he was rubbish. You've got Townsend, who has totally lost all form after his good start to the season. However, I also think that load of fans sucked the will out of him, because every time I said, you know, it's great that he's having a dig, load of Spurs fans were like, no, we don't want him to do that. We want him to find the perfect pass every time. So he's had all the enthusiasm sucked out of him. Then you've got, Chadley, who can't decide whether he's a decent player or not. Got that gormless look on his face. Ericsson, who I read a tweet, and as I was reading the tweet, right, it said, what's the point of Ericsson on the left? It's like having a professor playing football or something, one of these, like, you know, how can Ericsson possibly know how to play on the left? And as I read that tweet, Ericsson was on the right wing and he gave the ball away. So I don't think it matters where Ericsson plays, he still will give the ball away. And I'm still going to say I'm not convinced by him. I think he's Modric light, very light. And then we're missing our talisman, our probably going to win player. Well, Lloris will win player of the year, I'm sure. But, one of our best players who turned around our season, Adebayor. Now, look, you know, I've mentioned there about five or six players who are dead out of form, playing in the worst form of life, and about 10 players who are injured or just coming back from injury. Now, switch it around, right? Let's have 100% everybody playing for Spurs, and let's have Liverpool with 6 or 7 players coming back for injury and 6 or 7 players all out of form. What would the score be?
Yeah, I know. No, you're right. You're right.
You know, and Brendan Rodgers this time last year was a laughing stock. The stuff he was saying aggravating all the fans. And where did they finish? 7th. I mean, you know, I'm just looking at it from the other side. And if anybody thinks, oh, he's supporting Sherwood, he's deluded, I'm just saying it from the other side. If you want the same opinion, go and listen to all the other podcasts and listen to Cole. But I'm saying something a little bit different.
No. It's not a
Do you know what I mean, though? You've got to say something a bit different. You've got to try and look at it from the other side sometimes.
No, I know what you're saying, and I think a lot of listeners know what you're doing, but
finish off, what did I say when AVB got the sack? I said, whoever the next manager is, I want him out. He's a load of rubbish. He hasn't got a clue. So I was actually the first person to say, we don't want Tim Sherwood.
I know. But it's true about the interest things. But, you know, it doesn't paper over as well, Steve, to me, the whole season. Even with AVB there, there's just been something funny going on at the club this year. And it's been the lack of entertainment is my biggest disappointment. It really is. And we said it a few weeks ago, and this is where they've now got to decide. And personally, I actually do think that we will probably... I can see Man United going on a bit of a run here again. I think they'll just pip us, and we'll probably finish 7th. Does 7th get the European spot?
Hopefully not.
So, look, I'm quite happy if we finish in 7th place here. But, look, in a way, it's going to be interesting just to see the reaction. I'm surprised, to be honest with you, Sherwood's probably still there, but I think it's went this far. Levy isn't going to get rid of him just at the minute.
Do you know what I did? Sorry, mate, go on.
What did you think, just quickly, before we go on to just a couple of final few points, what did you think about him sitting up in that stand, Steve, yesterday?
Okay, well, as I tweeted, I that's when... Do you remember last season when I was sticking up for Adebayor, all the things that were going on in his life and all that. And then I just said... you know what, Cole? I'm not going to stick up for him anymore. He played a game or a couple of games where he was absolutely awful, like properly strolling around after he had created loads of space for Bale and blah, blah, blah. So this game, I was like, no, you know, I'm going to try and see it from his point of view. So I look at the side and I go, right, why has he got Sandro on the bench? If he's not fit, don't play him, blah, blah. And then I see him sitting in the stands and I think, right, okay, I can justify that. He's sitting in the stands, he wants to see the game first half. But then he didn't come down and I thought, no, that is unacceptable. You as a manager, you go down and you can sit in your chair, that's fine. Do you remember we were 3-0 down against Arsenal a couple of seasons ago and Harry Redknapp just sat in the chair, but he was doing that blinking thing. And I remember Jamie Redknapp talking about the blinking. He said when he was a kid, and he used to, his dad said, come here. And he used to start that blinking. And Jamie Redknapp was quite funny saying, oh, you knew you was in trouble when he just didn't say anything and did that blinky thing. So, you know, all he had to do, Sherwood, was just go down, sit on the chair, fold his arms and stare at those guys, you know, and show that he was there, like the Spurs fans were saying. So the fact that he didn't come down is kind of like, I'll tell you what it's like, and I like to equate things with my job. If I do a lesson and I look around and no one's getting on with their work and I just sit down in my chair and then the head teacher comes in and says, what's going on? It's chaos in here. And I just sit there, fold my arms and say, nothing I can do about it. Nothing I can do. You know? And if I stood up and started shouting at them, yeah, they might shout back at me. They might not behave. But at least I can be seen to do something. I mean, crying out loud, man. Get down there, save face, right? And I'll tell you what I would have done if I was him, if I was bright like him. By the way, this Tim Dim thing, sorry, how clever are you? Oh, look, Tim rhymes with Dim. Aren't I clever? Right, no. What I would have done is I'd have done, do you remember when Kevin Keegan resigned as from England? I'd have come out in that press conference and I would have said, listen, I was offered the Spurs job. No Spurs fan can blame me for saying yes. I haven't done a very good job, and I admit that, and I think it's probably down to my experience. What I'm going to do is I'm going to step away now because this job's a little bit too big for me. I've absolutely loved every minute of it. It's been ups and downs and tough and what have you, but I'm going to go. I'm going to go and get my coaching badges, go and manage a couple of another club maybe, and then maybe in a few years I'd love to come back and manage this fantastic club. I'm not an Arsenal fan anymore. I used to be, and honestly, hand on heart, I'm now fully Tottenham Hotspur, but the job is a bit too big for me. I apologise to the Spurs fans, but it's too big for me. But listen, you know, would any Spurs, you know, look into the camera and go, would any of you Spurs fans turn down the job if you were offered it? No. So, you know, sorry guys, but I'm going to walk away. That's what I'd have done if I was him. What do you think about that?
Yeah. that would have been a good one now to watch. It definitely would have, and I agree with you. It's something that he possibly could do, but look, you know, I can't even put any light on this at the minute, Steve. Like, I'm sitting going with Sunderland at home next Monday night, and like, where is the interest? What have we got? The only thing, you know, that has to go on at that club is that he, but that's the thing, he's been saying that these people have to show fight and spirit and pride and playing for the shirt. They're not showing it, and I'm just going, like, what are these guys going to even, what are they going to do? That's why I just think, drop half of them, play the kids.
And we don't want to win these. What about Cole, this is the worst thing, Cole. This is the worst thing, is that I don't want to finish fifth or sixth. Because, you know, I'd finish fifth or sixth if it was above Arsenal, but we can't do that now.
Yeah.
Finishing above Man United, you know, I've got a few Man United friends, but really, you know, there's no bragging rights there. Yeah. And it means sitting down in the middle of August, flicking on, you know, Eurosport, because that's the only channel that does the Europa live, you know, draw live, and watching you draw against three sides that you never heard of, who people take the mickey out of you.
Yeah.
That's what happened. That is the reality of this competition. As much as a fan, we want to win it, and we love watching our Spurs. Half of supporting Spurs is bragging rights. And it's embarrassing when you then go, you know, it's a Thursday night and, you know, you're in the office or wherever you work and, you know, you say, oh, what are you doing tonight? I'm watching Spurs. Oh, yeah, it's Thursday, isn't it? It's Spurs Day. You're like, oh, dear. Yeah, Liverpool fans.
It is, look, my only thing on it is, if we do finish in that Europa, they have to play the kids next year.
They have to, don't change the day that we play on a weekend. Play on a Saturday.
Yeah, but they're always going to do that.
They're always going to do that, and it's terrible. I love goals on Sunday. Chris Kamara and the other guy. Good they are. I love goals on Sunday. Can't watch goals on Sunday now because Spurs were never on it.
I know.
Liverpool are on it every week. Picking up three points. With no pressure on them because every other club is playing on the next day. It's madness.
Just one other wee thing I want to discuss, and then I quickly want to do fantasy football and a couple of shout-outs.
Oh, man.
Because we didn't get fantasy football done last week. But, you know, just looking forward to next season, I personally, you know, and I hope and I believe that we will have a new manager in. Who it's going to be, I don't know. Obviously, Louis van Gaal and these guys are all being. I'm going to just wait and see what happens there. But, you know, the kind of players, Steve, I just wanted to quickly chat. Dan Jones put a good post up earlier on about, you know, maybe going to... You know, going to the likes of Southampton and offering them, you know, bigger money for the likes of Shaw and Lallana, Rodriguez and these guys. And it got me thinking, and personally, these are really the guys, people with Premiership experience. And we've said this for quite a while. We spoke about the likes of Kabay and, you know, people that have been there and done it in the Premier League. And that's what I want to see us going to. The likes of Lukaku, who's obviously a Chelsea player, he's at Everton. You know, there's no reason why we can't, you know, I don't think Mourinho was going to take the guy. We can't go in and try and get the likes of him. You know, there was Benteke that talked about he's had a bit of a bad season this year, to be fair. But I do think, you imagine us starting next season with Benteke and Lukaku up front? Do you know what I mean? Mm. With Lallana in behind them. You know, Luke Shaw at left back. You know, there's no reason, I think...
Luke Shaw, I'll tell you now, he'll go to Chelsea and he'll sit on the bench for the season.
He'll sit on the bench, yeah.
Because that Azpilicueta has been fantastic.
Yeah, I was just going to say, someone had put, you know, a reply to that post was, like, the likes of all the big teams are going to be in for Lallana and Shaw, you know, so it's probably could be a bit of a struggle for us. But, you know, could we just test the water with Southampton, go straight in there, you know, look at the money we spent, you know, going off for 30 million, you know, for the two of them, or... 40 million for the two of them, and let's go out and try and pick off, you know, the best players in these other teams.
Mm. And we've always said that, haven't we?
Yeah, we have, and forget about going the foreign way. Mm. You know, really, really forget about it. But
and I just say to all these other guys, you know, we're not selling any of you before the World Cup's finished. Go and play in your World Cup, and then, you know, we'll talk after. And perhaps they'll have a different frame of mind. You know, half of these players want to go to the World Cup. With any luck, you know, it sounds weird, doesn't it? But I almost don't want him to be picked now. You
know, I'd see him.
I'd love the manager to turn around and say, "No, you haven't played. You haven't played. You played terrible for your club."
That's what I was meaning by earlier. Play the kids from now on. Put Vertonghen on the bench, whatever. And let's see what the Belgian manager going to pick him.
Well, do you know where Vertonghen's going to play in the World Cup, don't you?
Left back.
Absolutely. And he'll play with a massive smile on his face. Yeah.
Big smile, I know. Well, it's going to be interesting. But a couple of quickies here, Steve. I'll quickly do fantasy football because there's been a change at the top and our good friend Dan won't be too happy because John Perez is now top of the league. Dan Jones in second, they're really both fighting it out there. Patrick Morris, Adam Barrett, Chrissy Rich, ASD from the Football Fancast, Kurt Fautek, Sharnie Mann, Lee Wilson and myself, Steve Colin McKee in 10th place. I told you so we'd get in the top 10 and I'm up there. Steve, you have dropped again the 89th.
Yeah.
Not good, mate. Not good.
I'd bow for about the first 10 games.
You're the Tim Sherwood of the Fantasy Football League. So that's why I'm going to start calling you Dim instead of Steve. sorry about that. Most points this week, ASD actually had 80 points. Well done, Andrew. And just at the bottom of the league is Angus Doodall, Kate Coggins, Graham Lambert, Charlie Warren, and Tom Hay. So good fun, and keep it all up, guys.
Yeah, and by the way, listen to all the other podcasts like I do.
Definitely.
Because they are fantastic.
They are, yeah. And it's great to hear, yeah, you know, people's points of view and,
yeah,
and things. And obviously we're trying to get in touch with Crackers. Crackers is definitely going to be on one of our shows very, very soon here as well.
Yeah.
But they are, a guy listened to them all. I love also I don't know if you listened to it yet, the 505, the football phone-in with Ian Wright and Kelly Cates. I download their podcast every weekend, and if you download the one from Sunday, 70% of it is Spurs fans phoning in.
Yeah.
And it's excellent. Really good. Really good to listen to.
I'll give Kelly Cates a ring on my phone. No problem.
And you give her a call and ask her to get us on the show to talk about Spurs. One other big quick shout out, Steve. Another major announcement for the Northern Ireland Spurs Legends Night.
Yeah.
We've got another night organised. Davey Elder, the Spurs poet, and the Lisburn guys. July the 18th, we've got Mickey Hazard and Ozzy Ardiles coming over.
Wow.
Over to the Ross Park Hotel again, guys. £25 a ticket this time it's going to be another super night. And I know we didn't really get to chat much about our last one, but I was saying to you before, Steve, with Cliff Jones and Martin Chivers over, and what a night, mate. It was unbelievable.
We will talk about that at some point. There's so much to talk about.
Cliff Jones got up, mate, and he sang at the end of the night, and there was 200 Northern Ireland Spurs fans singing their hearts out along with this guy. Mm. Martin Chivers, brilliant stories about injuries and, you know, what it was like to play under Bill Nicholson. It was the most amazing night. And also, which I didn't get the shout out in that last show, was I got to meet Mr. McGovern.
Yeah.
So I did, and his beautiful wife, the whole way from Thailand. And I sat with the two of them, we had a fantastic night, and got some great pictures and things. So look, it was great to meet you at last, Jason.
He was banging on about how much he likes me, wasn't he? I can tell.
Oh, he said you're his favourite Spurs fan.
Yes, mate. No, he's good. Great. So, you know, Sherwood, you know, it's done. He obviously, you know, he'll be gone either you know, this week, next week, or definitely at the end of the season.
He has to go, Steve, doesn't
he? He has to go. You know, I, and in my heart of hearts, I always knew he had to go, but I wasn't saying it because I just didn't think it would do any good. And there we go, it hasn't done any good, so I was right. Look, no, if you've listened this far into the show, you know that, people have said I sound condescending or whatever. Very, very, very few negative comments we get, Cole, do we? You know, we get wind-ups and stuff. But if I sound condescending, I'm sorry. I'm just a primary school teacher, and sometimes I sound like that. Come up to me in the Bell and Hare, and I'll buy you a beer if you think I'm talking down to you. I promise you I'm not. I'm just saying like what I think. That's all.
I think what the listeners need to know is, obviously, I know you, Dan, Martin Heiser, Davey, we all know you. We know your sense of humour, and we know what you like to do, and we know that you like to come from that other point of view. So, you know, people need to take some things with a pinch of salt. And you know, especially on Twitter as well, there. But
but generally everything's all right.
Yeah, of course it is. You know.
But you know, just if I come across a bit like that or sarcastic or whatever, it's just, you know, I'm trying to think. I have a little think, and I think, right, I'm going to do the show tonight. I'm not going to say the same as everybody else. Let's come at it from a different angle, and there we go. But season's over. Sherwood out.
You just like to be the controversial one.
Well, I can't be the good-looking one, can I?
Well, that's it, mate. I know it's hard.
That's taken.
But here, I'll just put one last thing to you, and you can be the first man to shout it out. Who do you want to be the next Spurs manager, if and when Tim Sherwood goes?
Who's your choice? Who's my choice?
You're now Daniel Levy. You've all the money in the world to get whoever you want.
Yeah. Or you have to be realistic, don't you?
Yes, I mean, being realistic. Yeah.
Well, I mean, this Louis van Gaal thing is looking all right. You know, I just don't see why he wouldn't go to Monaco or a side in the Champions League, because, like I say, Real Madrid or Barcelona, whoever doesn't win the league or doesn't, you know, if either of those sides don't win a trophy, they'll get rid of their manager. And they'll look around and whoever's available. you know, and you know, if he makes his, if he, you know, his agent makes it clear to the Glazers that he'd like to go to Man United, I'm sure they'd be happy to pay off Moyes and get someone like him in, because he's just, you know, he's got the credentials. But so obviously him, but like I've said, if we get him, you know, it'd be fantastic. But I can't see it in a way, but I can now, because Ruud Gullit said, you know, who's some credible rather than someone on Twitter called Tottenham THFC number one fan. Oh, I've heard we've got Van Gaal. Oh, really? Who from?
Yeah. You know, I think you're right. I've sort of been looking into Van Gaal, and I've seen some quotes that he's had, you know, when he was from previous teams that he's had, and he sounds like that sort of, you know, that hard taskmaster, or, you know, that we sort of need, and, you know, it's maybe someone that maybe just will come in and, you know, steady the ship and give us a wee bit of fight and determination back. Another guy, and I know I shouted him out a few seasons ago, and I just can't see it happening, but it's Martinez at Everton. You look at that guy.
Don't you think Martinez would be too Spursy, though? No, don't we need someone to get in there and ruffle some feathers and give him a kick up the backside?
I think so, but I think the thing with Martinez is, and I think, I forget who, what pundit it was talking about him, but he's a hands-on on the pitch, and the guy talks fantastic, and he's got passion. Like, if you watched him yesterday when they were playing Fulham, you know, he's got that thing about him. And I just think I would absolutely love to get that guy. He would, if I could choose anybody at the minute, he would be my number one choice.
Okay.
But I would love to get Van Gaal as well. I just hope, I sort of tried to think of it, look, right, don't think about Van Gaal just because everybody else is saying his name.
Mm.
I've been trying to think, is he the right man? But the more I've sort of read things and heard things about him, he possibly could be. But they're the two choices. And look, fingers crossed we do it soon. You know, so that we're not waiting until the end. But no, in Spurs, we'll do it at the end of July, and we'll have about 2 weeks left of the transfer window.
Yeah. All right, mate. Well, look, you know, good chats, and we might do a show next week. We'll see.
We'll see. We'll probably go and win 6-0 next week.
Well, and and we'll be like, oh God, we're going to Europa, here we come. But you know what? If we get Europa, I'm not doing anything Thursday nights next year.
Yeah. That's better. It's better than Modern Eastenders.
All right, mate.
Okay, mate. Come on, you.
I was going to say keep your pickers up, but I think that ship has sailed.